Blog Talk Radio.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now.
It's extremely supporting of the president and his
policy. FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
Then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the group is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would've been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed you because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
I think that we differ from
some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community, as a foreign troop occupies territory. And the police are there not to, in our community, not to promote our welfare or for our security and our safety, but they're there to contain us, to brutalize us and murder us, because they have their orders to do so. And just as the soldiers in Vietnam have their orders to destroy the Vietnamese people, the police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property, because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive the due process of law, for the simple reason that the police themselves deny us the due process of law. And so it's very apparent that the police are only in our community, not for our security, but the security of the business owners in the community, and also to see that the status quo is kept intact.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, they Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff, gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the mecca, America. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, your DNA an abomination. This how I this when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, speeches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather calls, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretches in the planner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never owned, I don't conversate, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the ladder gate, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, IDA.
This young lady right there.
I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Malcolm. Now, you're right, of course, the black people are in the West. They have had the worst treatment. But isn't it also possible that if the white people, the poor people, the people down in my neighborhood, the white people, those that don't work, those that are on welfare, those that have nothing, and they got together too, and you help us, we'll help you. You help us get up there. You help us get rid of some of these people that are pressing down on us.
No, I say you should be just as active in your neighborhood as we're trying as you have been in our neighborhood.
All right, we get our neighborhoods so hot. Everybody's going for something. we alone, there are too few of us, there are too many men upstairs with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinion. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are. So a mistake is made on you.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, Tuesday night weekly broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chairman Nat Turner, co-host, myself, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communication, Sister Amina. Call in each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, the gruesome murder of Rasheem Carter. We're going to open up our phone lines to our gentleman, Nat Turner. Black Power, you hoo-hoo comrade, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right on, man. Black Power, all power. People, we all try to do another show, you know, and we chose just specifically, the nature in which this young brother was murdered, you know, the savage murder of Rasheem Carter, you know, and it is what it is. We live in a very brutal society. You know, there's a number of things that I wanted to condition into a higher stage of consciousness in order to, you know, to deal with our problems in a heightened way. That may alarm some of us, you know, but we live in a brutal society, you know, a decadent country. What I like to refer to as decadent North America. I know some of the brothers years ago used to refer to it as the hells of America. You know, what we experience collectively on a daily basis. Different types of psychological warfare, material conditions, which are manifesting concrete terms, concrete realities. And I've been looking at a lot of, you know, cases, trying to keep up so many, you know, and trying to, juggle a number of things, you know what I'm saying? You know, but hopefully we can get family on at some point, and anybody else. It's hard to try to find words sometimes, but he had called his loved ones, or his mother particularly, and been in distress. He'd been contracted to work with for Georgia Pacific in Taylorsville, hailing from Laurel. And it is near Laurel because it is reports of seeing right outside of Taylorsville, you know, and then Taylorsville, but Smith County, in particular as far as the jurisdiction of county goes, that his brother ended up missing. And a month beta around November 2nd. These young men's remains, his body, was found. I've read several articles. And one article, and I'm always skeptical about reading these articles, especially, you know, with the news media, because the media is no more than a wing of the state, you know, with corporate control of media. But he's supposedly been staying at a hotel at Laura and working in Taylorsville. He had been going back and forth, you know, working, you know. And the last time, it turned out that something obviously was taking place, which wasn't good. It was something bad. And this young brother obviously knew that somehow, some kind of way, some person or someone was trying to harm him. And he had spoken with his mother, had been talking with his mother, and he pretty much had been telling her, like, well, we said what time it is. You know, he said that he had saw white men in a truck. In a white truck, a white truck's plural, you know, following him, or, you know, Joel Houston. And let me say this, by the way, too. A lot of times, you know, we do our show in the Wheel of History, you know, going back for years. You know, some of our phones start acting up, malfunctioning and whatnot. Best believe. That's not by coincidence. We just want to let those know who are listening, you know, what time it is. We are revolutionaries. We don't apologize to anyone. We believe in our understanding and, from a historical perspective, like Malcolm X is trying to get our people to understand during his lifetime. And we believe that that is the most practical of understanding. The old saying, how you gonna know where you're going, you have to know where you've been. And like our experiences, in order to draw a clear analysis in the going forward and the type of people that we have to be collectively. But we just wanted to just make that known that if mine in distress or danger, but what this kid didn't know was that Sheen's mother was on the phone while he was talking to them, letting them know that some felt he was in immediate danger.
You heard him?
Yeah.
Like foul. Yeah, you sound like a little, like choppy a little bit.
Okay.
I have to adjust your phone. You can make it sound
a little bit. You want me to? Let me hang up. Now I'll dial right back in. I'm going to hang
all
up
right.
And dial right back in. All right. Cool.
You'll be right back, y'all.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah.
Sabotage.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Black Power, as you were. As
you hear me better? All right,
yeah.
Cool, right on. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, just saying, you know, just trying to, like, to give some context to what happened to Rasheen before he was murdered and what he was going through, you know, and talking on the phone with his mother. Of course, as I said, that, you know, Pierre Houston wasn't aware that she was on the phone when he was in the station. And they pretty much brushed him off. You know, he had asked them for a ride to Laurel, and according to his, I believe his aunt, his cousin, had said that, you know, they couldn't give him a ride because it was out of their jurisdiction. You know, it was a legal move that they pulled on him, and, you know, pretty much there was no room no space that he could, you know, occupy. And so this young brother obviously left, and he returned, you know, the next day, you know. And but as a loved one or a family friend, as a family friend, let me get to a family friend, you know, phone called, you know, they were on the way to pick him up. And of course, you know, it took several hours and stuff, but she could never find him. And so she went to several places, business establishments, whatever, stuff like that, asking, you know, had anybody seen him, you know, said no. You know, before you know it, some point afterwards, there's you know, a video or camera, you know, we use, you know, we deer hunters and stuff, you know, on their properties, on their lands, whatever, and he's seen, and we had did a show a couple of weeks ago, we talking about the war in Africa on black men, and we had mentioned, you know, some of these things, him being seen on a, deer camp, and as though he was, you know, moving in a way that, you know, like someone was after him, and he had a stick in his hand, you know, and, you know, according to his mother, he had bruises and a gash on his head, you know, and then there's a thing about someone had been withdrawn from account, bank card, $500, and you know, they suspecting foul play here. And so with the ATMs, you know, they, there's a periodic thing that they, that these, that they automatically do as far as like recording and whatnot. So it's a period of time that they, you know, sort of recalibrate and then start, you know, shooting, you know, in another phase, what have you. And so this whole thing is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize what had happened to this young brother. One of the things that come to mind for me is if he has there been any further footage, or you know, when he was seen in the deer camp, and I don't know how wide-ranging the deer camp can capture someone. You know, some of those deer camps, you can pass by and be in and out of the angle, whatnot. But it would be, won't be a little coincidence, the young man is moving with a stick in his hand. And the only thing that we come up with, somebody must have been chasing him, must have been after him. But, you know, a month later, his body, remains for that matter, was found. And of course, he had, you know, we were staying at the Super 8 Hotel, key, wallet, and of course, you know, his chime card and stuff. What may have been a cell phone battery or whatnot, these things that was found, you know, I guess on his person and around his body and stuff. And so we just want to, you know, put that in the proper context. Now, the manner in which this young brother's body was dismembered, the type of savagery, and which is what we, you know, want to, you know, go on or talk about some here. The way that, you know, his body was dismembered. And of course there's also you know, the names also, this young man obviously was cognizant enough to understand who, matter of fact, may have been behind or at play, or the persons who were out to harm him, because he had given the names, I would believe, of three individuals. And they told him, if anything happened to me, then these persons, you best believe, who was behind it. There's a sort of a flyer that was made, and it's typed up, and it had these points to it, where it says, you know, they beat him to death, they cut his manhood off, place it in his mouth, cut off his fingers, dug out his eyes out of his head, cut other parts of his body off, gave his body to wild animals, or the acid on the body. And then there's three persons of interest here. Gabe Horn, the chief of Taylorsville, somebody referred to as Bobby the Cleanup Man, also the maintenance man, Taylorsville Projects, some other person referred to as the boss man, Stephen Luke Clements, who was Rasheem's, or what they referred to as boss man, or I guess on the job. And there's a sort of sickness. And Conrad, at any point, let me know if any family members of the Marquell is on, you can unmute their mics, what have you, and get on in and give us more too, as far as like, those who've been on the ground, who've been part of the quest to seek some type of justice, or to get to the bottom of those who harmed him, who murdered this young brother, who savagely murdered the young brother, and be brought to the courts, to stand before a judge, what I'm saying? And it was a criminal act, of course, meet some time. And the human rights violation, one of the worst ways. And of course, there are elders who've been around long enough, those who grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and they're very, very much familiar with the same types of murders in these rural areas, Mississippi, in the Deep South. Some of us familiar, if not all of us, most of us familiar with the case of Emmett Till and around Money, Mississippi, And so it's a host of these legacies, a history of these types of murders. And the perpetrators themselves, if not, because first thing come to mind sometimes is, the Ku Klux Klan. And of course, the Klan is still alive and well. A lot of them have gone underground. A lot of them turned to politics, the dawn of the suit type, the briefcase. And, in the meantime, there's still the old hardliners off in these rural areas, in these small little towns in Mississippi. And we've had a number of cases, as a matter of fact, in the past that we've dealt with, too, in Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead, Cameron. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to let the callers know that if you want to participate in tonight's topic, just press 1. That way you'll light up on the board and we'll let you in. Yoo-hoo-roo, Black Power.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. And like I said, we wanted to just some things that we feel that our people need to understand. You know what I'm saying? The perpetrators, the Klan mentality, is got the Klan written all over. There's the M.O. Back in the day, these lynchings of black men. And one of the sadistic rituals that they were, become a regular thing, it was castration. You know what I'm saying? The castrate, the male genitalia and whatnot. You know, all these things, these habits of riding around in trucks on a good Sunday. And for those who don't understand, those who don't know, we be using these terms loosely. And what I understand and, the history of these terms, and the one term that I'm speaking about is the term picnic. And what I understood over the years that, it would drive around on a Sunday, and it would look for victims. It would, walking down the, the old dirt road, because, Mississippi is famous for the old dirt road and whatnot, during the day, a lot of our people, due to lack of transportation, two feet become our best friend. Well, anyway, this is the type of thing that they would do, and, pick a nigger, finally pick a nigger, to lynch. And the word pick a nigga, the phrase itself It's been shortened down to the word picnic. And this is how the term picnic come about. And this is how we do, you know, go out, whatever, on the Sunday and have picnics. And this was their M.O. And so this has it all over it. You know what I'm saying? And so if it wasn't the Klan, then you had those who were affiliates of the Klan, what we refer to as extension of the Klan. And the Klan is no more, no less than the wing of the state. And what we mean by the state is the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. And, of course, you know, as politicized revolution, as a politicized organization, coming behind those who we feel that has set the tone of understanding, terminologies, and labels, and placing, you know, things in the proper context so it could raise our conscious level and, put theory to practice and push the contradiction up forward. And then take the contradiction and expand it and heighten the contradiction. And so this is what was understood about the police or the Klan and how, you know, such organizations could be moving and certain black organizations were attacked. And the Klan, you know, was the most brutal organizations in America, were able to maintain their existence. And the history of the police and, you know, Klan having pretty much been one and the same. You know, so it's a number of things, man. But the other thing, too, just, you know, this sadistic, you know, this sort of like sadistic behavior. What is the whole thing about castrating, you know, the victim in Rasheen's case, you know, and his pride, you know, stuffed in his mouth? I mean, what was that all about? You know what I'm saying? It's a sort of sadisticness. And I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I don't know if you know, we getting these types of understanding or even thorns upon us, but it is very dangerous. You know, some of us may have fallen asleep at the wheel due to the election of a black president and this thing about the post-racial society. You know, all these utopian thoughts of mine. You know, lower your defense shield, lower your defenses. We believe in heightening our consciousness, but a number of things come into play, you know what I'm saying? But we have to still be on our guard, especially in rural areas. You know, there's no coincidence that they chose their young brother, you know, to do what they wanted to do, this young brother, to do the certain types of things that still operate in the white male psyche. You know what I'm saying? The level of hatred. It's almost incalculable at times. You know, trying to figure out this shit, trying to figure out why would you know this 21st century America. I can't believe it's still going on, whatnot. And it's a failure, it's a lack of understanding in the real world in real time. You know what I'm saying? And the European has had a history of you know, projecting nine whites, black people in particular, you know, the various so-called tribes of Africa, you know, indigenous people, Australian, whatnot, you know, as savages, you know, as primitives, all the terms that you use to justify the treatment of the people who they wanted to conquer, you know what I'm saying? So using these terms, even cannibal, you know, there's such terms as cannibals, uncivilized, and the Europeans' history have been just that, you know, and it is what it is. It is what it is, you know what I'm saying? But that's what we wanted to, you know, talk about too, you know, as well as, you know, seeking justice for these young men, and you know, the state, the pigs, you know, the sheriff, the police, or whatever, the audacity to, in the preliminary stage at least, to declare those signs of foul play. And that's the usual bullshit, you know, it's the usual thing, you know, we've been so socialized with it. We've been internalized so much, it's like an automatic pilot. But if we took the time outside of being subjected to it, and we start asking, or at least some of us, you know, whoever, unconsciously, you know what I'm saying? But, you know,
It's a sign. It's a sign of complicity, you know, in itself, you know, the sheriff and those responsible, you know, in these little towns. And like in the so-called city block areas, there's some difference here. You know, powers do that. You know, they can, you know, be stashed off, you know, in the wooded areas and there's whole lands, you know, unpopulated areas and woods and trees and stuff. And this is a usual path, you know. And so there's so many things. And the tape, if we laid this out, what we believe is like if we laid it out clearly and we can tie it in, you know, to the state, you know, the so-called police or the sheriff or whatever fell under the African, you know, under this so-called constitution, you know, the constitutional right and all these things that America herself accuses other nations, other countries of doing, Iran, you know, North Korea, China, Russia, you know, anybody who doesn't go along with the American ideal with the capitalist structure of exploitation, who doesn't fall in line with the so-called West, you know, the Anglo-American-led establishment. And what we mean by the Anglo-American establishment is, you know, America slash, you know, Brit and whatnot. But to label other countries as regimes violating its citizens' rights. And America is no better than any of the countries that she accuses of carrying out these human rights violations. And so at some point in time, we should get around to, you know, putting this government on trial right there in New York. You know what I'm saying? The UN. And it's not that, you know, we, the People's Political Party, necessarily have any faith in them or any confidence in them. We believe that the sole purpose is just putting America on trial to shine a light on this government and the continual human rights abuses of people of African descent who have been on this part of this side of the world for the past 500 years. And it says a lot, you know, to black men. I mean, I want to, you know, get on to that too. But time we got anybody in the queue that want to get on and comment or whatever. And look, y'all feel free, man. You know, this you know, it's a people radio. That's why we refer to it as In Defense of the People Radio. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we welcome those who want to comment, question. You know, even educate us more. As far as there may be some intricacies as of late with, you know, Rasheem's case. And also, I've seen the, there's a photo of his skull. I mean, it's man, you know, you're looking at this photo, and like for me, I've seen, like, photos like that, but, like, in my mind, these are like skulls that are used in medical class, in medical school, you know, where they, you know, where the crown of the skull is taken off to demonstrate, you know, what's underneath the hood, you know, so to speak, you know, the brain and this, that, whatnot, or where the, you know, performing surgery, you know, that type of shit there. But looking at the, I mean, it's just always unthinkable. Like, it places your mind in a whole nother alien world. You know, I'm looking at a human being's skull, you know, months ago, you know, who was just doing his thing, you know, getting paper, a 6-year-old daughter. You know what I'm saying? I've listened to his relative talk about the kind of person that he is. You know, or you can look at the picture. Now, I've seen pictures, you know, there are several pictures. If you really just look at the pictures of, you know, this young brother see the type of person, you know what I'm saying?
Like Power Chairman,
who he was. Go ahead, Queen. What we got?
Yeah, we do have a caller that had been holding. She hung up, then she called back. That we want to try and get on. Okay. Calling from the
Mississippi
area.
Let's get on.
Go ahead and unmute that 601 number, Brother Motherland, Black Power.
Black Power, you can go ahead, 601.
Yeah, Carter, can you hear us? You on? Give us your name, you know, question or comment, you know, tell us who you are. Are you there? Hello? Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Maybe they haven't contacted the phone, but I did speak to the sister because she had hung up and, you know, when we were playing the music and I told her to call back, but she did call back in. So we'll give her another chance to go ahead and press one, as you were.
Yeah, cool. Right on. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, looking at the, you know, the pictures of the young brother, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, man, that's a continual war, you know, against black men. You know, and at some point, black men are going to have to mob up. You know, we're going to have to remob up here in these 21st century America. And you know, do things that, you know, that we don't anticipate doing on the daily regular basis. Now, there may be some who try to interpret what I'm saying or whatnot, but I'm saying we have to really, really heighten our awareness all around this country. You know, we're under attack. We can even take a look at the fact that the rising of Donald Trump, you know, the oncoming of Donald Trump and the regime that Donald Trump ran and the type of tactics that Donald Trump had used, first and foremost, to get into office. There's so many things, these influences. It's a number of things that just come to mind, and I hope I'll be able to, get them out. But, you know, with this Donald Trump phenomenon, we know that there's been a spike in racial incidents, even among the Europeans themselves, who appear to be in two factions, you know, going back and forth, and this old bullshit about some capital riot, insurrection, all that kind of shit there. But even in the midst of that, the way Donald Trump manipulated, played on a lot of what would be this sort of like this psychological fears, and of course, which we could tie in into the reason why you know, this young man was castrated, and you know, his private, you know, stuff in his mouth, you know, and it's just a lot of factors, you know, like a lot of psychological factors that goes into it, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, with Trump's presence and how these whites who have the move now is a sort of the resurrection of the white Confederates, you know, the white right wing, ultra right wing groups and mentalities that have been exploited, you know, by these white nationalist groups who on one end would appear to have this beef with their government, claiming that, you know, they've lost their democracy and whatnot, because both sides are doing it, you know, to the other. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a heightened case I'm not going to say no resurgence, you know what I'm saying? Because the racism has always been there. But there's this type of mentality, this type of sickness that has been heightened. And this is what Donald Trump has been able to do, you know, to get himself into the presidency. And we believe that this is, as a result of that, is an extension of the type of mentality that murdered Rashim. Because we can ask ourselves, for what other reason would they have to do harm to him? Of course, we know there's always a point of origin. At some point in time, you know, he is you know, going back and forth, you know, to work. And I know it was also something about Rashim had, you know, had the opportunity, you know, to go back and forth with a co-worker or some co-workers and, you know, go back and forth. And so obviously something transpired at that stage, you know, and this is, you know, what, you know, I've read, or to my understanding, based on what his mother had been, you know, stating. So something had to transpire, something had to trigger. You know, this young brother was no fool, you know, knowing that his life was in danger. And so he was failed. We don't believe that he was failed. It was coincidence. We believe that he was failed on a purpose, for a purpose, especially when he had entered, I believe, one of the gas stations or something, one of the convenience stores, and he had heard the person behind the desk or whoever was working at the time that got a phone call, and he had heard the person say, yes, he's in here, which is in reference to him. And so we know that definitely this appears to be an orchestrated murder, and it has to be, the lid has to be blown off of it. These various cases that have been taking place throughout America, some of these cases have been so-called high-profile cases and have gotten all the attention in the world. They've gone all around the world. And this is one of the things that we are attempting to do to add, you know, to bring more light, if there hasn't been any light beyond the local news stations in the state of Mississippi, Jackson, new local news and whatnot. You know, this has to be known around the world. One of the things that, you know, we believe in doing is doing a people's investigation, a people's report.
Black Power,
and taking, yeah, go ahead, Cameron. Who we got? We got a call, Cameron?
Yeah, we got a call. Go ahead, 601.
Yeah, right on. Carter, you on?
How y'all
Black,
doing?
Go ahead.
Black Papa, yourself, your name, where you calling from, comment a question. Go ahead. I think that's Brother Markell. Black Power, brother.
Black Power, Black Love. Markell Bridges, calling from Gulfport, Mississippi. Just standing in solidarity with y'all. Want to support what y'all doing. I love what y'all doing. And I'm just listening, man. I'm here to learn.
Yeah, yeah. Look, man, Phil, if you can, you know, fill us in on the latest with the call to family, you know what I'm saying? We just, you know, we filling in shit, man. We had some, like, some serious context, you know, to the whole thing, because we want our people to understand, not that he was just murdered, but in the fashion that he was murdered, and the reason why he was murdered in that fashion is the historical legacy. It's not no isolated incident, even though the case has received, you know, George Floyd status. You see what I'm saying? And that's a problem. It's a very, very, very serious problem, you know what I'm saying? But if you can, you know, fill us in on, like, you know, the latest or on what's taking place, you know, as much as you can, brother. Go ahead.
Definitely, definitely. The Carter family attorney is Ben Crump. He just hosted a press conference 2 days ago, updating and confirming that Rashim was, in fact, lynched after reviewing what they have as far as his bones. That's what was given to his mother, a small box of bones. But he's confirmed that he was lynched. He was found decapitated with his genitals in his mouth. This was definitely a hate crime, definitely a lynching, and it was perpetrated by hate and just racist evil people and where we at, you know, it's different when I say it from when Ben Crump said it. So just having him come and second what we already knew for all of us who've been involved since day one, what we already knew, for him to come and confirm that it is, in fact, a hate crime, that he was, in fact, lynched, has elevated the case to where I think it should be. And now it's really just time for a national call for boots on the ground, man, to show Taylorsville, Mississippi, that we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to play about our black brothers and sisters, and to do whatever needs to be done by any means necessary.
Yeah, right on. I mean, yeah, and there you go. You're hitting it right on the head. And, you know, you reminded me of something. And there's always, you know, I had this little thing where, like, I tell people, like, man, it was our no-name little ragtag crew, man, you know, that went on the ground. You know, something for anybody else come along, we ain't give a shit who was what, this, that, and other, because we treat all these cases, you know, the same. You couldn't tell them apart when it comes to us. We don't give a shit what their background is. We don't care what community they come from. You know what I'm saying? We don't care who their cousin is or who their brother, sister, whoever. You know what I'm saying? Period. You know what I'm saying? Just like back Bobby Seale said, when he was talking about, you know, man, what's going on? He said, shit, we here. So why? So it's because black man is dead. He didn't put no emphasis on who he was as next. The black man is dead, regardless of what his background is, man. And this shit is what it is. There's no distinction. But, you know, you've been on the ground. You know what I'm saying? I would like to say that it was already confirmed. You know what I'm saying? You already confirmed it. Just the fact that doing the hard work, doing the mat, and the most important thing is, you know, Uncle the Pig didn't even realize that, you know, the little brother mom was on the phone. You know what I'm saying? And for him to, you know, to say, look, it's clear. It's clear. All we got to do is realize it. See, we could be subjected to something and not really, and it don't register to it, because in a subjective, you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking fully or 100%. You ever been in a situation, a meeting or something like that, whatever, and you know, you was going and going and going. You did good. But then when the meeting was over, you start going home or you woke up and you was like, damn, man, I wish I had thought of this. I would have included that into it. Because you was being subjected to something, so it prevented your mind from, like, you know, just going all the way. And so for him just to say he appeared and didn't, you know, he didn't appear to be in type of distress, you know, whatever, whatnot. And what he didn't know was that the young man's mama was on the phone. You see, and that in itself right there implicates this so-called chief or sheriff or whoever he is. It implicates him right there. And it's a legacy. It's a history of it. There's a book. Now, I've mentioned this book a couple of times, but it's a book called We Charge Genocide. I would recommend for those of us who you know, want to get a timeline, a history, some understanding, some context, and shit, we can add his name and the date that he was lynched to this. There's a book called We Charge Genocide, and these elders have been putting this book together in the 60s. And the objective, the goal was to bring the evidence, was to accumulate all the evidence, all the facts, you know, all the way back, I believe, maybe like the early 1900s, and come forward with all the lynchings and the murders by the police and the Klan, historic-wise, and to accumulate all that, and we're going to the UN with it. And we're filing human rights violations charges, you know, against this government. This is something that most people don't really understand, don't really realize. One of the most crucial reasons why they murdered Malcolm X, because that's what Malcolm X was working on. And then when they met with King, you know, that was going to be like, okay, we're going to bring these forces together. Okay. And then on the heels of that, you had groups like the Black Panther Party. And it's no slight to leave anybody, but saying, like, I'm only mentioning these things for a particular reason. You see what I'm saying? But with groups like that, that was, you know, paramilitary, and the type of attitude that they displayed. And then you had brothers who had their back in the shadows. You see what I'm saying? With that kind of combination right there. Oh, yeah, you know. And so we find ourselves again in this situation, you know. But we can add his name to the registry. We can add Kawhi Charles' name to the registry. We can add all these brothers. You know what I'm saying? All these brothers, these latest victims of the of what we refer to, rather painstakingly, casualties of war on black men. There's no coincidence. We don't need no rocket scientists, you know what I'm saying? But the fact that, you know, you're on the ground, you're doing the work, confirmed it for me. And this is nothing personal. This is nothing personal. I think it's a shame when the way we condition, your image is everything. You know, if we can get this person, then, you know, no. It's a shame that we have to I don't know if it's forced or I may be missing another term here. You know what I'm saying? But all these cases, there's no distinction, period. You know what I'm saying? It's all of us or none of us. It can't be that shit. It's all of us or none of us. But it was confirmed. Now, you know, Ben Crump entering the picture, you know, would nationalize it simply because of his name. You know, and I think that's rather tragic. It's tragic in the sense. You see what I'm saying? It's very tragic. It's not personal. But saying just to get our people on, say, this is why we do what we do. We're like, look, man, we try to keep abreast on a lot of shit, too. And lately, we've been doing, you know, these shows and whatnot. Our main goal, of course, is politicize our people, to heighten our people's consciousness, then we deal with the state in a heightened manner. You know what I'm saying? And at some point in time, okay, well, I've heard a long time ago about, you know, making demands and shit. You know what I'm saying? And so we get to the stage, to the point of where, well, we get to the point where we'll make our demands. Now, we got to understand, too, that this government, this system is on its way out. They're in terrible shape. Nothing's working right for them. And what they're going to do is they're going to try to get the masses of the people to bear the brunt of the blow. They're building underground subterranean cities and shit. You know what I'm saying? And all of us ain't going in there. It's only meant for a few. So they're preparing for their own cataclysm. And we're going through a cataclysm inside of the cataclysm. You see what I'm saying? But, man, you know, shit, we keep doing the work. We got no choice. We have no choice at all. But, again, we, you know, the psychodynamics of this murder, we really, 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 really want people to understand. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, you know, this word can get out at some point in time, you know, heighten our people's awareness and stuff. And, you know, you out, you know, trying to make a living, you know what I'm saying, like anybody else, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like I said, man, you look at the pictures of this young brother, man. You just know that this brother, you know, like we're just happy-go-lucky, but he's just making it. He got a little daughter. It's like he's on top of it. He's just doing this thing. You know what I'm saying? You just look at the pictures, and you just realize, like, or there's some vulnerabilities in some instances and stuff like that, you know. It reminds us of a couple of other cases that we worked, you know, when we was part of the New Black Panther Party, you know what I'm saying, in these little towns and whatnot, you know, brothers ended up missing. You know, bodies later found on somebody's property and whatnot, hung and shit like that, you know. And, man, you know, it's war. It's war in its many, 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 many facets and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It's war all across the board. And we all we have, you know what I'm saying? There'll be at some point, you know, we'll try to stay away from absolutes. We know that, okay, allies and whatnot, and our allies had to be very, very clear on what it is we should be about. You know, of course, you know, we all have to start somewhere. Some of us have been in the struggle longer than others. Some of us have been on the front line, you know, the slogan boots on the ground. You know what I'm saying? That's something we tried to, make go viral. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, we welcome that shit. And, yeah, you know, let's get boots on the ground. You know what I'm saying? As many as we can. Of course, there's several different, you know, channels. You know, there's several different roles that's got to be taken, you know, while we on the ground. You know what I'm saying? The last one we was at in Iberia, man, it was dynamite. You know what I'm saying? The energy and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, we have to, you know, escalate our response in a sense, you know, and there's, you know, the civil cases and whatnot, but at the same time, criminal charges, you know, we can't afford to let the state and whoever, black, brown, red, yellow, all white, you know what I'm saying, seduce us so much to where we start losing sight of what it is, you know, criminal charges. This is a motherfucking murder. This is a lynching. And we want the world to know. We want to expose this government, this country, you know, the imagery that they shoot all around the world, you know, and propaganda. And it's very powerful. The state cannot operate without propaganda. So we believe in what's called proper propaganda to counteract that bullshit. But what I'm saying is, we want the world to know. We want to, you know, tear the veil off and say, look, this is our reality. This is the real world. You know, people go and have their personal accomplishments, whatnot. You know, give us a first black this, a first black that, and whatnot, all this kind of shit. And then, you know, have the world thinking that, you know, it ain't the same no more for black people. Black people, you know, ain't coming up in the world. You know, no, no, this is this sort of mythical kind of thing to keep the lid on, because the real shit is our reality is Rasheem. Our reality is Rasheem. Our reality is looking at a skull. Our reality is that a human being went missing, and the only thing we get back is his bones, is his remains. That's our reality. You know, Jalen Randle is our reality. You know what I'm saying? Jaheim McMillan is our reality. You know, Michael Corey Jenkins, if I'm saying the name right. That's our reality. You know, he was treated like an enemy combatant in Iraq, in Afghanistan. The same mentality. Understand this. The same psycho neurotic mentality that created the so-called scandal at Guantanamo Bay, okay, or whatever that shit was, the same mentality that was doing to those Iraqi persons is the same mentality that was doing what they did to little brother Jenkins. That's the same mindset. That's the same state of mind. The only difference is was the location and the uniforms that the perpetrators is wearing. That's the only difference. But if you take them two together, you see somebody in military fatigues, camouflage, desert camouflage, and what have you, you know, and you see that shit, and in your mind, you thinking of just a you know, like the usual thing about war. You know, you think about it like that. You know, this is the military. This is what the military does. Okay? But when you see an officer with the Black Panther Party labeled what we feel correctly as the pig, and why, right? But when you see an officer do what he's doing, the same mentality as this person was doing over here, he had the same mentality. Well, where did he get it from? How did he get there? You know, how did he waterboard this young brother? How did he, you know? I mean, all types of shit. You know, you could have took this young brother and placed him in Guantanamo Bay, and it would have been no different at all. Period. And the only reason that we really can get some type of rational understanding of it is because this pig has been militarized.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah. Come on, go ahead. Come on with it.
See, this is what truly bothers me about our people. We know for a fact that the federal government killed Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Fred Hampton. Like, this is facts. This has been released after 50 years. They wait 50 years so everybody involved is dead, so they can't sue nobody, so they can't be held account. But we know for a fact that our government, the FBI, COINTELPRO, killed all these black leaders. And yet we still believe in these people. We still trusting this system. We still listening and reading and believing what this media put out that we all say is against us. It's the most asinine thing that we can do, yet we continue to do. If you look at the local media now, they report word for word what the police report. There's no such thing as investigative journalism. What we're doing as activists, we're investigative journalists. You know, we're looking at both sides. Okay, mm-hmm. Police said this, or the family said mm-hmm. this. Now, what's the truth? But from our mm-hmm. view, you don't get that. You get a straight report what they said, and we're falling for it. I don't understand with the knowledge that they killed all our leaders, with the government. Like, I'm going to repeat that again so people can understand. This is not a game. This is not something I'm making up. The government killed Fred Hampton. CIA, FBI, they killed Martin Luther King. He was alive in the hospital. We know this now. So how are we still mm-hmm. trusting these people? How are we still looking for a legislation from these people to save us? It really blows mm-hmm. my mind, brother, the state of us, that we can know all of this. No, Lynch, every black person said on January 6th that we could never do that. So that lets me know mm-hmm. that every black person understand it's a different set of rules for us. So why are we still mm-hmm. operating the same way, King? You know, it's mm-hmm. some of this stuff is on us to wake up. You know, some of this mm-hmm. stuff is on us. You know, people not voting. This younger generation to look you in the face and tell you, voting don't matter. It's people that died, lived, sacrificed for you to have these rights that you're not even exercising. You know, it's real deep, and it all comes from the generational effects of slavery. We're no longer in physical change, but these Negroes' minds is in change, and that's what we're trying mm-hmm. to free.
Right on. Yeah, let me say some you know, you hit on some valid points. I know, like, the one thing what I've learned, like watching certain movies, like, so to speak, like watching certain movies, I'll try to make it a point of like, you know, flick the TV on and CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, you know, just to see the latest shit that they doing, or the latest shit that they lying about, the latest thing that they're taking twist, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You know, we all been in high school, middle school, whatnot, you know, even in elementary school, you know, we've had to write reports, you know, on something or whatever, you know, a 2-3 page report on this and a report on that. You understand what I'm saying? But we've all had to do that. So as a story, it's always what? A narrative. It's the narrative. Right. And like I said, nobody was wearing any caps to the side, you know, like talking about it until Flavor Flav came along. All right. Flavor Flav came along, started taking the cap and wearing it to the side, and then he put a clock on with that. And then what he would say, you know, clocking, you know, clocking. And that was a phenomenon that took place. You see? And so in America, images and everything. Image is everything. You know, like the Sprite commercial. Or the McDonald's jingle, you know, controlling the narrative, you know. So we have to snatch back the narrative. We have got to transform the narrative that's been given to us, that's been fed to us, you see. And like I say, you know, Malcolm X was extraordinary. You know, he was, they're those who are thinkers, then there are those who are critical thinkers. You know, we believe that Malcolm was a critical thinker. You know, when I first heard him, I was trying to figure out how did he get the mind that he had. I was trying to figure that shit out. I was just trying to figure how is he able to click something and put it in the way, like, unlike any other people. So I was just trying to figure out what's the formula. How do you get there? You know what I'm saying? And so to me, it's the narrative. You know what I'm saying? And we've been struggling and struggling and struggling. Our reality is what? Like I said, our reality is Rasheem Carter. You know what I'm saying? That's our reality. Our reality ain't Clarence Thomas. Our reality ain't Colin Powell. You know what I'm saying? Our reality wasn't even Barack Obama. It's not personal. Our reality, high unemployment. Our reality is lead poisoning in our children. Our reality is high infant mortality rates. Our reality is drug addiction. Our reality is the bombardment of the drugs in our communities. Our reality is the land grab. So collectively, what is our reality? These are personal accomplishments that people can applaud, but is that our reality? You see, and so we have the narrative has been skewed because when you, okay, like you talk about vote, right? You take vote, and I'll give you some example, man, like real shit, like I know this brother, he's a cop, and the police murdered this brother. You go on the project, you know, Brother Nation Islam. I said, look, oh, man, we're going to be on set. I'm going to roll through them. You know, I'm coming through, fucking no brother. I see black men, I'm going. If they real shit, you know what I'm saying? If you serious, I'm going to show up. But I'm saying that, like, dude is like, look, man, y'all don't vote, man. You know, y'all don't get them checks at the first of the month. Shit like that. I'm listening to him. And I said, look, okay, we understand that. Again, what is our reality? It's the people. And what we like to throw just some in these little Vietnams, these little Occupy Congress, you know, black, we believe Black Panther Party, you know, really, really side this shit up. You know what I'm saying? And again, this is no slack for none of the other organizations. We just feel that they were able to heighten people's consciousness from all walks of life, you know, not only in the rural areas, but like on the block, like real shit. So the one thing that I understand that I learned that the collective masses of the people got to go down there and vote, right? Somebody got to showcase, highlight the person that we got to vote for. See what I'm saying? And so
agreed.
It's going to always be the people. It's going to always be the people that's going to foot the bill. Now, none of these cats can get to where they trying to get without the people. The people become so lethargic. You see what I'm saying? People want results, in other words. They want results. And that's the one thing about me. I try to always speak as practical, as realistic as possible where I get caught up in the rhetoric and all this other kind of shit, right? But I've learned that the people always, they want results. You see? So whoever we going to be voting for, he got to be from us. Now, you going to go to school, learn political science and whatnot, law, stuff like that. Somebody got to go do that shit. But see, when you get to the point where the people start realizing, yo, this is a champion of the people right here. Fuck with him and find out. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Jean-Baptiste Aristide in Haiti. He started a people's campaign, and the people was crazy about him. He took his time to go in the midst of the people and listen to the people, under ask what's your wants, your needs, your aspirations. And so he took his time. But what happened? This government, which calls itself the same democracy that they call themselves trying to instill in Haiti, and they went through that process. And this government overthrew a democratically elected president. The question is, why did they overthrow him? Because he was the people's champ. And that's what has happened. So the young people, see, they watching our generation, bro. They watching us like a motherfucker, like a hawk. You know, you ever seen an owl? You ever had the chance of seeing an owl at night up in the tree? And just how the owl, I remember when I first seen an owl in my first time in my life. And it was when you first look, it'll kind of startle you. Because you see these two things glowing, and you're trying to figure out what the hell it is, you know. But you ever seen the eye? Well, that's what they are. And so they watching. See, they watching us. They watching our generation. They us. They us. They gonna be us. If we go left, it's okay. We're gonna go left. That ain't the problem. You know what the concern gonna be? They're gonna say, okay, why are we going left? That's what they're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? That's what's gonna happen. But you know, like I said, you know, and this is what this is about. You know, it's why we call it In Defense of the People Radio. But you was trying to say something. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just agreeing to what you said, but just to tie it into your point about this new generation and why they're watching us. You know, we the accumulation of, we're the first generation of free black people. You know, our parents and we're the generation X is the first generation that where wealth is going to be passed down to black people. You know, this has never happened. You know, we're still being the first. So many people are fooled and thinking slavery and Jim Crow, all this stuff was they tricking your mind and thinking it was so long ago, and we're still being the first to do stuff. First president, first this, first that. You know, we really haven't made it anywhere. The best analogy I've seen is the one where the races started and black people are stuck at the start line, and then we get laughed by every other race. You know, we're just now beginning to be able to operate in a manner where we're not being lynched, and we're still being lynched, but just not at a mass capacity with zero consequence. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So understanding of which generation it is, it even explains the violence. The violence is just misplaced. We're angry for a reason. That's generation trauma in our blood. And then this generation is the generation that is no longer going to take it, but a lot of them are mental slaves to where they have all this self-hate, and they point their guns at the wrong people. Not saying I'm advocating for violence. I advocate for self-defense, but I'm saying that anger is and the way these young people are is the generational effect of what our ancestors went through being manifested as some people that is no longer going to take it. So only part that's missing is the education. You know, and that's what y'all are doing. That's why I commend y'all on what y'all doing with politicizing, because that matters. Everybody has a role to play. We can't opt out of this game. We got to play the politics game. We got to play the boots on the ground game. We got to play the community involvement. We got to play the voting game. The educational part is just missing, and these brothers out here lost. So everything you said is exactly right. And then even what you said about Armistar, they cut the head off those people. Like with me, I'm not a target because I'm something special. I'm a target because they think if they stop me, they stop the movement in Mississippi. Same way for y'all in Louisiana or wherever you at. They're watching, as you say, and they're looking for, okay, how we stop these niggas. Oh, they went left. Why they going left? How do we get in front of them and turn them back right the way we want them to go? And we have to be smarter than our enemy. We have to be smarter than our oppressors. We have to work harder than our enemy and work harder than our oppressors to ensure that our future generations, and quite frankly, we owe it to our ancestors. I hate when people say, oh, our ancestors was weak or this and that. We owe a debt. If you're a black ADOS of America, this, whatever you identify as, if you're black in the United States of America, your life is not your own. You owe it to the generations before you to excel and push the bar, to be great. That's what you owe a debt. You owe you're born owing the debt to your people. And I think if more people understand that and adopt that mind frame, we'll be so much better. We got to keep pressing the mark. We ain't made it. You know, people think because they got the fancy car or they can own the house that they free. We've always been able to do that. We've always had that, but we ain't been free. You know, we got to continue to push this mark forward to true freedom, and it's not enough of us doing.
Yeah, right on. Look, something you said. look, I got like a syndrome, you know, like things I remember from way back, like they got, you know, like somebody can say something, it'll trigger it, it'll trigger something. But when you say like, when we come out like, you know, okay, we turn left. A lot of these young people, you know, they see us like, you know, we got charisma and shit, like we like magnets. So it's okay, turn it up. at some point, one of them is going to say, okay, yeah, excuse me, big brother, on. So look, run that by me again. Why we going left? Nah, you see how I said that? We never really ran the bond while we was going up.
Yes, sir.
See, he's trying to, yes, okay. Oh, wait. Yeah, no shit. All right, nah. And you say it like somebody, oh, look what these niggas do. Well, let's get ahead of it, right? Nah, see what you say right there? That's very crucial. That's very crucial right there. Nah, that's been done to us time and again. Like, now if I keep going, just keep saying the same shit. One of youngest, all right, brother, now we got it already. And it's going to get irritable. You know, you're going to get tired of hearing me. Right? All right, well, that's what they saying. See? Now, at some point, we've got to break that mold. You know, like the Patriots, they won all these fucking football games, and they were trying to have a perfect season, and all they do was just beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. What happened? They lost. Right? So they had their win streak broke, like in basketball. You know, I remember the Bulls, Michael Jordan playing. They won, I don't know, like 27 games in a row. Until they ran up against formerly known as Chris Jackson and the Denver Nuggets. And they whipped the shit out of them. Broke their win streak. All right. You see what Chris Jackson, he was shooting shots just all over the floor. I mean, everything, he was shooting over Michael. I mean, he was shaking Michael Jordan, doing everything. You see that? You see what the Nuggets did? That's got to be us. At some point, somewhere in this thing, that shit got to be broke. And so the laws of nature is actually piling up in our favor. You see, the laws of nature is working against this system. Capitalism is doomed. It's doomed. And we got some people that's trying to help these people say this shit. They doomed. Now, I like to meet people where they're at. You know, I Muslims, I done talk with Hindus, I done write with Buddhists, you know, Christians, right? I meet them where they're at. I got the Hindu Bible, the Buddhist Bible, the Christian Bible. I got the Quran. I got all. I meet them where they at. I said, look here. You know, I speak to you. And the Bible said you read what you sow. The sins of the father shall visit upon the church. George the Rapist Washington had once said that I tremble for knowing that God is just. Now, he made that comment, and all of white America wasn't even paying attention. He made that comment to his homeboys, to the stockholders, the white ruling elite class, right? These dudes are business dudes. These dudes were corporate dudes. And so they wrote that constitution in reality to protect their assets, to protect the position within society. That's why they had that's why they had John Brown. That's why they had who else? It was a number of them. You know, try to go into a rebellion. The dude that started the rebellion against them with the planners, and that was a class struggle, right? And so this is what it is. You know, so they set this shit up for themselves, so they doomed. And so he made that comment. I said, well, all right, see what you're saying up? Like somebody, a Hindu, understand it as karma. Now that word has sort of gotten around in the black community. You know what I'm saying? Because you got these niggas out here doing shit. Some of these cats, look, man, some of these niggas got to go. You hear me? Some of these niggas got to go, bro. And it's painstaking to say that, but that's our reality. We have got to understand that part of it too, right? But they even saying it on the shit, man. I said, she, you know, I remember coming up and said, God don't like ugly. You know, I don't know what they made a movie called, God don't like whatever. But so these is tongues, these are things with all of them mean the same thing. They all mean the same thing. Karma, you reap what you sow, you know, shit like that. You know, the return of the Mahdi, you know, the Muslims, all that's the same thing. That's okay. Well, if you understand that, then get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Group preservation. And it's got to happen. And the reality is, I'm telling you, it's, man, listen, Africans, blacks, Negroes, and niggas, that's what I've learned to pretty much to size up my people, you know, in groups. And it's nothing derogatory in the sense of whatever. It's nothing belittling in the sense of nothing like that. These are states of mind. These are states of mind. Now, we at best sit down. Somebody better, whether it be one person, two, three, four, or 100, somebody better best sit down and figure out What's the best combination here? I believe if the Africans and the niggas got together, it will really be on. And then you got the blacks in there, the Negroes, they defeated. And they got a lot of niggas that's defeated. But we understand, and from our experiences, we know, just like the biblical Jesus, as you say, when he went into the underworld, you know, he resurrected the dead. It's some meaning to that shit. It's so much value to that story if we understood it correctly. And it's right here in front of our face. You see, and so when we resurrect the dead, their days is really numbered. Their days is really numbered. In the meantime, we got to deal with this. Black women, look, black women have more problems than any other motherfucker in this country. They got to deal with racism, classism, and sexism. All kinds of shit. Yeah. And look, Chuck D had a song called Can You Kill a Nigga and You? Go listen to it. Man, one of the most brilliant songs. Brilliant. Brilliant as a mother. And George Jackson, Victory Comes When We Change the Criminal Mentality to the Revolutionary Mentality. And people, man, look, you won't have a problem with me saying being revolutionary until I say they're going to revolutionize a new Cadillac. They're going to revolutionize a new Lexus. Motherfucker, park yourself. They're going to revolutionize the fucking vacuum. You just put a motherfucker on the floor. You don't have to push it no more. You just get there and go. They revolutionized a vacuum. You see what I'm saying?
If you they can revolutionize really, really powerful.
Go ahead.
What you said as far as the African Americans or Black Americans, whatever you want to call it, Indigenous to Americans, whatever you want to call us, and the Africans, you know, we've done the same thing to Africans, to Africa, what the Great Migration, what the slaves and the free Black folks that moved north done to us. You know, we've gotten the education, we've gotten the information, and then we said, screw our own people, fuck our own people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. What we know, the knowledge we have, the political views and knowledge we have now, that back, like right now, all of us, if we was to take that back to Africa, we'd immediately run the world. Our own currency, every resource. But, you know, we look at this. We're the only people who separate ourselves. If a Chinese person moved to America, moved to Switzerland, moved to Mexico, they still identify as Chinese. They still loyal to the people. You know, we're the same for Muslims, same for any other race you name. We the only people that allow ourselves to be separated, segregated, and stereotyped into these classes. Involuntary. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, but we're all black people. But we're at the end of the day, when they see us, they see black people. They don't see a West African. They don't see a Somalian. They don't see a black person from New York. They see a nigga.
Yeah.
You know? So
That's right.
That was very powerful what you said, brother. Like, if we could just get focused and start feeding this information and this knowledge and this wisdom that we've learned back to our own people, to the motherland, imagine what we could achieve. Because just like we're the resource to America, Africa is the resource to the world.
That's right. It's
really deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll say that again. Black people are the resource to America, but Africa is the resource to the entire world. So, you know, we got to start loving on ourselves and then love on the motherland. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Look, man, listen, brother, that's what this is about. We call it In Defense of the People Radio. It's a people's radio. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm the mouthpiece. You know what I'm saying? You know, I lead the charge. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my comrades, they make shit happen. It wouldn't be going down without them. You know what I'm saying? I'd be running around like a chicken with my head cut off. You hear me? And maybe a wing. You see what I'm saying? But real talk. But the colonized mind. The colonized mind, you know, you turn the people inside out. Okay, if I come to you and I see what's valuable to you, I see what's been making you tick all these years. right? I done studied you, but you just didn't know it. So I done canned you fully prepared. I know what to do. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take away your belief system. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to strip you of your belief system, and then I'm going to replace it with another one. Now, what you think that other one is? Me, I'm your God. I'm your Santa Claus. I'm your Spartacus. I'm your white Moses in the movie who parted the Red Sea. I'm your Pharaoh. I'm your mummy in those movies, The Mummy One and The Mummy Returns. I'm all of that. I'm the dude that's going to walk your little baby girl to school, cross her across the street, holding my white hand. You see, I'm the dude that's in the movie, I done robbed a bank, and I'm going to get away in the end with the damsel in distress, and I done still done wrong. I'm your God. And when I become your God, you become nothing. You become nothing. Straight up. And therefore, when you become nothing, you look at yourself in the mirror, you see nothing. You go out on the streets outside your door and see somebody look just like you, you see nothing. When they ask Bone, documentary from Bastards of the Party, Bone is about, I don't know if you ever seen Training Day. That's the brother who take the pistol and put the pistol down on the ground and tell Denzel cop, at the road part, nah, home around, you got to put your own way around here. All right, that brother, yeah, he a real blood. He a real blood. And they did a documentary with him, and they just simply asked him, okay, so why is it so easy to kill? Why y'all killing each other? You know, blood's good. Or why, you know, what's this all about? Why you just kill each other? You know, we're killing it. Bone asked him, and said, oh, you ever been hunting? He said, yeah. You ever been hunting? Dude, like, yeah, it's okay. So, you know, you hunt, right? You got your rifle with your scope on, right? So when you put your rifle, you spot the animal, and you put your rifle, and you got that bit in your scope, in the crosshairs, what do you see? He said, an animal. He says, it easy to pull the trick. He's like, yeah. He said, okay, well, that's what it's like. Oh, man, I see. Dang. I mean, he took him there. He asked him a question that he can relate to, something he most likely could relate to. So when he pulled the trigger, you ain't think about that dip. Did you think about that dip? Of God's creation, did you think about that dip? He said, look, you saw an animal. He said, that's what we see. So how did he get there? And so Bone went through a transformation. But he said some of these dudes are saying something, and it sparked his memory, his mind, and he said, because you know what? And what were these gangs? Yeah, where do these gangs come from? So he started going back and back and back. He said, the more he went back, the blacker the shit got. And the more conscious it got, the more militant it got. And it led him all the way back to the Black Panther Party and Bunchy Carter with the Slawsons. You see? And this is what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of. See, that's the other side of what you were saying. You see what I'm saying? And this is what we got to do. This is what we must do. And that's why I said, man, you know, we open the mic up. You know what I'm saying? To anybody. And look, it may be some pros and cons or whatever. All we saying is just know what you're talking about. You know, we don't run from no criticism. Period. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? We let the people be our measurement stick. We let the people determine what stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why we do what we do. You know, and like you said, different roles to this shit. But, yeah, you pointed out stuff very clear. And I say the same. This man, I tell you, look, man, these dumb cats, man, they're not going to jump over you to get to him because you a crook and he a blood. They're not going to jump over you to get to this brother because you a 5% and this brother a Hebrew Israelite. They ain't going to jump over this brother here to get to you, you know, because you a militant. And his brother here, a Baptist minister, you think they
did
that?
It first. Let me take you. Let me
just like you say. You say what? They see us all as what? Nigger.
Niggers. America in the American Revolution, it was the what versus the what?
Yeah, North against South. No. The British, the Blue Coast against the Red Coast or something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
Everything we know, we learn from them. You know, once you strip a people from everything, from their religion, from their heritage, from their knowledge of self, then you feed them what you want them to feed. We just perpetuating what we see, man. DNA is powerful. All this shit is encoded in our DNA. That's why the generational effects of slavery have to be studied, you know. Because look at what's doing us. If you just look at every area of black life, even successful black brothers and sisters, we're still perpetuating cycles of self-hate. It's the mind. The most powerful thing you have is the mind that's trapped in this never-ending cycle of hating the ones that look like you. Majority of brothers that make it out don't turn around and have no hand up. They turn around and say, damn, you know, why y'all can't get it together? Why y'all ain't doing this? Why you ain't? Have you taught them? Somebody had to teach you. Have you taught them how to do this? Have you told them? Have you came and been a resource? Have you given back? Have you helped one person? You know,
right.
Pause on the whole community. Have you reached back and grabbed one brother or relative? Think about the mindset when a brother get a little money or a brother get a little education, how he looked toward the people and the places he came from. You know, it's all that comes from them, the pitting the slaves against each other, the Willie Lynch. I ain't saying if it's true or not. What I'm saying is commonality in what we see in society today. You know, I love my people. I spend time around my people. And if you look at mother, daughter, father, son, you know, if you look at those typical relationships, the conflict is there naturally. And the ones who are making it is the ones that's putting in that extra time and understanding and trusting the Most High. But the conflict is still there, you know. So it's about breaking cycles, breaking generation curses. It's about not being afraid to be the first, not being afraid to walk alone, not being afraid to do the unpopular stuff. You know, for us to set all trends and like we control the world. Bro, the way I look at this shit, brother, I'm going to be real candid and real with you.
That's what we want. Straight up.
So we control music. We control fashion. We control what's cool. We control what niggas drive. We control everything, and we don't own nothing. And too dumb to realize. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that, bro. We said everything, the standard for everything, how you walk was fancy, was cheap, everything. like what's the cars that people driving? It went from old school Chevys and Lacs to Challengers and Chargers. We said that. We the reason they riding Hellcats. We the reason that they wearing Air Force One, making songs about it, making Nike rich. You know?
Yeah.
We don't own none of it, nor do we control the message that's pushed to our people. People want to know what's going on. In the 67, they was pushing love and happiness. Now we pushing spin the blocks. Every song, kill a brother, kill a brother, kill a brother. You know, you can sit there and pretend I'm not no holy roller. I'm not one of them folks there. But real and reality is reality, and you can't deny the reality in which you live. That message makes you not give a fuck about your people. It makes you see, like you said, the brother said, it makes you see an animal if you listening to shoot a nigga down every day.
Yeah.
You know, what you ingesting in your mind, what you ingest, you're going to portray that. You know, every religion say what's in the heart comes out the mouth. You can't hide it. So when you put it in your mind and it get in your heart and you get in the thoughts of what to do in life and how to be, you hate the people that look like you. You walk up the street and brothers mug each other. Why you mug people you don't even know? But you walk up to the white man and do the little nod down. You scared to nod your head up. Mm-hmm. You scared to nod your head up. You nod it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
you know, this is what's real was going on. I don't respect none of these tough niggas. I don't respect none of these tough niggas in these gangs, in these streets, because they're only tough with black people.
Mm.
You know. That's a bully. You only tough with your own. You only killing your own. White man slapped your mama. You ain't going to do nothing. White man appreciate you every day, fire you on your job, treat you bad, or make you do all the shit work, you know, whatever. Just make your life miserable, and you won't do nothing. But a brother step on your shoe, look at your girl, owe you $5, you're killing.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing.
Well, yeah, and see that's the thing. You know, like we take the realities, like, okay, like, it's just like a process, like, you know, okay, you have material conditions, right? This is something that, see, our people live in it, we feel the effects of it, but you have material conditions, right? And material conditions lead to realities, because you could have one without the other, right? So, because of the material conditions, we accept the realities. The realities are concrete. And those concrete realities is what you talked about. And so we know, that's why we say there's a war going on inside of a war. And this is that war where there will be self-inflicted injuries. Looking at it from a war point of view, anybody that's been in the I've had this conversation with older cats that have been in the military. One of them is a sergeant major. And, like, he's been around where he saw all kind of shit. And I be rapping about stuff, right? Now, we talk straight up. You know what I'm saying? We talk straight up. And he speaks straight up. He don't bite his tongue. He don't, none of that. If you can't have a conversation with a man, don't have one with him. When it comes to all of the shit you're saying, a lot of stuff you're saying, a lot of stuff I'm saying, but just the shit that's going on, period, right? And so I've learned to accept what you're saying. I've learned to accept that. But I do understand that the conditions, the cycle is running out. And so if you take violence, this is a scary part right here. This is a scary part for white people when I speak like this. This is a scary part. If you take, okay, the history of the NFL, motherfucker, some of them football gurus, I know the history of the NFL, they'll tell you where we at today. Because of that shit, that is where we at today with it, right? Blah, blah, blah. All right. The history of rap music. They got rap historian Google that can tell you because of that shit there, it's because it is right here. It's where we at. Now, let's take the history of violence and put it in perspective. Right? And it took violence to get us here. We're the only group out of all the so-called races or ethnic groups, whatever, that came here. Unlike any other group, all the other groups came here with, they say, their own free will. Now, we know all that shit ain't true. As a matter of fact, the Europeans was actually running from something to get here and thought they was going to create a paradise here. Right? But we're the only group, unlike all the rest of them, that was brought here by the force of violence. Or the violence of force. Right? Now, that meant it was the Europeans heaping that shit on another group who didn't look like them. But what about the Europeans before they came and did the shit to us? What was they doing here? They were doing it to another group, the indigenous people, right? Black and brown people. Now, what was it like before them? It was Europeans doing what? They were constantly at war with one another. It was constantly performing all types of acts of barbarism on one another in Western Europe. But what was before Western Europe? Rome. What was before Rome? Greece. What was before Greece? Sheer barbarism. Sheer, raw, naked barbarism. So Greece is the bastard child of that barbarism before them. Rome is a bastard child of Greece. Western Europe is a bastard child of Rome. America is the bastard child of Western Europe. And so if you go back, that was white-on-white violence. And so when they began to do what? Expand our, what did they have to do? Every non-white group that they came in contact with was a form of violence. That became white-on-black violence. And then they took that and perfected that shit into a science, right? Now, what's the bastard child of white-on-black violence? Black-on-black violence. So I give you three-fourths of the equation of the cycle. If there's a cycle that has to complete itself, like we're taught, right, then what's the last part of that equation? If you take history, and history shows with them, you look at history, only not if you come up from history, the only other thing you can come up with is black-on-white violence. You see it? You see how the cycle would complete itself? This is what the Europeans understand in the subconscious. This is why the state does what it does. On the state level, on the federal level, and on the international level. You see, that's why there's militarism, this militarization of the police. Because the white ruling class know that shit. They're conscious of it. They're conscious of it. And then there's this hierarchy. You know, you got the middle class featuring the white middle class. When you say middle class, you ain't thinking about black people. You think about white people. When they say our children on CNN, they don't have, see, if they put the word white in front of that shit, they'd get accused of racism. So they don't have to put white in front of anything. Our government, our president, our schools, you know, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So there's subtle language that they speak. They, but if you look at history, what's the history of violence? And is there a cycle that must be complete, like the Hindus? Like the Bible has it in Revelation. Revelation is the closing of the cycle. It's the completion of the cycle. You know what I'm saying? So it has it in there. And a lot of people are aware of it. They're conscious of it. So a lot of people do other things, what I refer to as psychological acrobatics, to flip themselves out of it because of the reality says what? So you see this thing going on in the black community. And yeah. It's unfortunate like a motherfucker, but you're starting to see other phenomena that's taking place too, you see. And that's when it's just, oh, yeah, we need more police. You know, we got to put up more cameras, you know what I'm saying, to protect who, you see. So that's on one end of it. But in the meantime, somebody got to say, look, man, we got to go out there anyway in that water. We got to do something. Some of them so far gone, yeah, but they just kind of off his cap. But there's a whole lot of other ones up there hungry for this shit. They're hungry. They're hungry for it. And just like you said, now they pulling these guns, but man, they become conscious. So we say blind rage, our goal or objective is to transform blind rage into conscious power. And it transforms everything along with it, like that tsunami that hit Japan. Everything went with the shit. You know what I'm saying? Everything went with it. Wherever that water went, everything went with it. It went in the desired direction. You know, power's ability to find phenomena, make it act in the desired manner. That tsunami proved it. Go look at the video. There's nothing that could just like say, no, I ain't going nowhere. Well, if you wasn't the ground, your ass was moving. That's what takes place. That's a phenomenon that's taking place. And see, this is what it's about. This type of education we believe that our people have to get. And we don't own CNN, we don't own Fox from MFC, CBS, and all of that shit. We got some black people, we got talk shows, whatnot, National Syndicate, talk shows. What they talking about? What they talking about? You see what I'm saying? What they talking about? What her name is, the latest girl, Sherry, whatever her name is. You that spaced out? You that drunk that you can't bring up these cases? That you can't mention Rasheen Carr, Jaheim McMillan, that you can't mention that, you understand what I'm saying? That's the problem. But look, man, it's been a blast. And we don't reach the end of our rump on this one. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of people radio, man, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm one of your co-hosts, Chad Burnett, my other co-host, Minister of Defense, a National Minister of Defense, but a motherland. What we like to see is our assault technician on the ones and twos, Sister Amadou, showing our National Minister of Communication. And, man, Brother Marquette, man, it was beautiful. Man, we'll do this again, man. We'll do this some more, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're going to stay, you know, like I say, in the struggle. And that's part of it. We got to keep going. And, shit, it's in the heart. You know, shit, love. know what I'm saying? Share love. You know, we all we got. And so we say stay tuned for next next show next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And so on that note, we say black power and all power to the people. We out of here.
Think it, cause you never know when it's will you be standing when it's over. And too much on the over. What you gonna do when it's over. Will you be here for your child to have a show?
And you ain't nothing without them. If you marry, show her you love her. Put none before her. Yeah, we fuss and fight, but them my sisters and brothers. I got the game from my daddy. He taught me how to hustle. First time I ever served some time in jail was with my uncle. Damn, I was hot. The cops stayed on my bumper when I should have been at home getting ready for school in the morning. But I was always there, even though I was yawning, trying to sell the candy I sold at the store on the corner. Lost at my house again in a stolen car with my friends. Well, I end up in prison, my brother got killed. Then we both had kids when we was down serving beers. Still blessed to pick up a phone, call my mom and dad. To make a long story short, if it quacks, then it's a duck. Keep your mind out them streets and your head in them books.